Good morning. Thank you, Dwight, for reminding me I'm supposed to be up here at this time. So you're probably thinking, seeing me stand up here, I'll tell you a story. He's not in here yet. I was hoping to get him. If I'm up here, you know we're in trouble.
Center on the top.
Top, there we go. All right. Stick it in my pocket, we'll see how it works. Hey. So, you know we're in trouble. First off, thank you for being here, especially our visitors. Please stick around for a few minutes afterwards. Just let us get to meet you if you would. We'd certainly appreciate that. And we're certainly, as I said, happy to have you here. We thank you. You made the decision to worship with us today. We know there are other places you could be, other things to do. And we think that being here to worship God, obviously, is the right place to be. So, as I said, you picked the wrong day to be here, you know, from the standpoint of getting me. And it's funny, Don Hooten, our regular preacher, he's out of town there in Colorado for the holidays. Don asked, you know, we've got Mickey and Jeremy that, you know, regular backups, and they can jump in at the jump of, you could, actually, if one of them had been here and I hadn't got in, I guarantee you one of them would have been up here already. They're that prepared. But Don went down the list ticking people off. Would you preach? Would you preach? Would you preach? Won't be there. Won't be there. Won't be there. And so he got to the last name on the list. And it brought back horrible memories from my childhood when I was the last guy always picked for the team. So, so I guess I have more pity on you than I have pity on me. And I wanted to apologize to John. I already did, because I obviously overscheduled, and I appreciate his willingness to get up and help out to make sure that we have all the positions filled for the functions that we need to perform. It's been a while since I've stood up before you, and expect toes to be stepped on today. If nobody else's, at least these 13s that are at the bottom of my legs will be stepped on. Whenever I preach, typically, or almost always, the topic is something that is where I feel like I need work. And so you can come back and tell me, you know, if that didn't apply to you, it may apply to you. I expect it's going to apply to all of us. Let's see if this is going to work. Oops, I got to turn it on. Steve gave me a crash course in this morning. Oh, this is also the first time I've tried to do this. So, hey, look at that. We're going to talk about being busy. I guess all of you have been busy this month, right? I've been busy. Any of that remind you or make you think of yourself? I guess that top left one would be something certainly that I've been trying to do, so I could take off through the end of the year, be with my family, spend more time with them. But you can see that the signs of the holiday, particularly the lower right corner there, the hustle and bustle. You'll notice it's a picture from quite a while ago, looking at the car. But I expect all of us fall into this category. And I expect that all of us would say that we've got too much to do and there's just not enough time to get it done. Whether it's shopping, planning events, get-togethers, like we've been doing. One thing that we haven't had to do this year for the first time in, I don't know, 22 years or so, is school events. With the girls being grown, but I know a lot of you do, sporting events. The thing is, though, it really is not just this time of the year, is it? It really, we find these things to keep us busy throughout the whole year. It's not just this time of the year. because there's something that we're going to see and say, all right, I've got to do that, or I've got time, I'm going to do that, or I don't really have time, but I'm going to make sure I do these three things. We try to get more on our plate, and we're trying to get details taken care of. You guys remember this? Some of you don't, but some of you might. It's an episode of Andy Griffith that comes to my mind, and it's always stood out. And this is where a businessman breaks down a couple miles from town. And it's on a Sunday. He has to be in Charlotte by Monday morning for a meeting. Of course, Mayberry is, I don't know how far away, but it's not where he wants to be. He goes walks into town with 2 miles, dressed in his suit, because that's the way they dressed back then to do their traveling. And nobody's around. Well, it's because they were all at church. So he waits for people to get out of church, and he goes to the garage, but the garage is closed because they don't fix cars on Sunday. They pump gas. Gomer was there pumping gas. And you can imagine the reaction of the businessman who had to be in Charlotte by Monday morning for a meeting. He was not happy. He was not happy at all. Andy tries to calm him down, settle him down. Why don't you just stay with us for a little while, settle down, slow down, relax. You'll get there. We'll get the car taken care of. Doesn't appease the businessman. After several attempts to try and find a solution to his problem so he can get to Charlotte as quick as he possibly can today, he realizes it's just not going to happen. So he finally stops and sits down on Andy's porch with Aunt B and Opie. And all of a sudden, Goober, who's been away, is available to fix the car Sunday evening. And then by that time, or he couldn't even use a phone because, for those of you old enough to remember, they had a party line. All right? And on Sundays, the town let two women who were unable to get out of their houses just keep the line open so they could catch up. They didn't use the phone. They let these women use it so the businessman couldn't make a call. Anyway, he finally settles down and starts to relax on Andy's porch. They get the car repaired, and the businessman decides, this isn't so bad. I can make it to Charlotte in the morning. So, what's the message? Slow down. That's the message they're giving us. Take time to smell the roses, right? Or, if you're Tracy Hooten, take time to smell the coffee, right? Or, if you're George Chapman, take time to smell the sawdust, right? Slow down. That's the message that they're communicating here. But it's not going to be our message this morning. Because as I said when we started off, whenever we've got time, we're looking to fill that time. We're not looking for time to sit on the porch, because we're sitting here, we're actually trying to get to that point where I want to sit on the porch. I want to slow down. I want to take it easy. Yet how often do we really do that? How often do we slow down? I don't know from my experience. We work hard to get things just right so we can slow down. And Tricia, she would agree with me, I'm sure. We don't. Because we're looking for the next thing to do. Luke 11, 24 and 25. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. We're not called to live a life of sitting on the front porch. God has made us to be busy. It's why we continue to look for something to do. It's why we're not content just sitting on the front porch. He makes us to be busy. He makes us to do something. And it's why we're always looking for things that need to be done. So, apologize if this next slide shocks you a little bit, but what is evil? Is it the monster under your bed? A dictator who's trying to rule the world and do whatever it takes, killing whoever it takes to get where he wants to be? Is it a mass murderer who kills just for fun? Because it satisfies his desires? Because that's typically what we think of when we read this parable. Jesus says the spirit brings seven spirits more evil than himself. But I'm going to suggest we look at this a different way this morning. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 6 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Matthew 10:37 says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And then we've got the parable of the great banquet. And I'm not going to read the whole thing through this. I'm going to start in verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. That's because if you read earlier, the people who were originally invited made excuses because they were busy. One said, I bought a field. I got to go see it. One said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go examine them. I've got to test them. Make sure I made a good deal. And another said, I married a wife, so I can't come. As if that's explanation enough. You see, the king who had sent his servant out is God, looking for people to do his work, to do his will, to do his bidding. And these three people that were originally invited, they're on the guest list. People that you would think, oh yeah, they should be there. Well, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. It's crystal clear that everyday things, the things that we would never consider evil, can bring to us the same outcomes as the seven spirits that are more evil. And in the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 7, Jesus says, the king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city because they would not come to the feast. So, what does this have to do with being busy? Do we put work before God? Do we put play before God? Friends? Family? Mom and dad? Our children? Our health? Do we consider those things evil? They aren't by themselves. They're just innocuous. They're benign things that become evil whenever we put them before God. And as I said when I started, the primary audience for these, whenever I preach, is me. But I think this applies to all of us at some point in time. God makes it clear that anything before Him is sin. He makes it clear what's going to happen when we put things before Him. These things that we consider dear, we consider them necessary. They're part of our lives. Our children, putting them first becomes sin. So let me ask you, have you ever gone to work feeling less than 100%? I know I have. We just do that. We've got to. Got to go to work. And whenever you don't feel that well, does it stop you from attending these other things that need to be done? Mom, dad, kids. It's easy to single out being at worship services when we start applying this to God. Because that's the easy one, right? Well, I don't feel well. You know, it's being here, it's easy. But think about it from this standpoint. When our brothers and sisters need help, how do we approach them? Oh, I don't feel well. Or, my stuff has got to get done first. What's the message that we give them when we do that? Instead of what Jesus tells us, God, our neighbors, then ourselves, we're saying, it's me, then maybe God or my neighbors, you know, flip the order. We all have things to do. We all have things that need to get done. But how are we prioritizing them? How are we taking care of them? Are we considering the message that we're giving or that we're sending to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we feel up to helping a brother complete a needed repair? Do we feel like transporting them to an event or to an appointment? Do we feel like going and sitting with them? Either sitting with them or sitting for them so they can take care of something. Do we have the time to do that? Do we feel well enough to do that? Or we find that our own things get in the way? Back to the parable of the unclean spirit returning to its cleaned up house. We are meant to stay busy. We look for reasons to stay busy. It's because we have a hole in us. We have an emptiness in us that is going to get filled. We're going to fill it. We just will. Might as well accept that. We aren't trying to get to the point where we're going to sit on the porch. We are trying to stay busy. And that emptiness is uncomfortable. That's why we're trying to fill it. It's an unwelcome feeling. We want to fill that emptiness with something. It is inevitable. It's in our nature, and we can't avoid it, to stay busy. So the question becomes, are we too busy putting ourselves first? For true happiness, we need to fill that emptiness inside us that has to be filled. It has to be filled. We need to fill it with what God directs us to fill it with, because He knows best. He knows that we need to stay busy. He put it in us. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit means we are practicing love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are our directions. This is what we're striving to produce. We call these the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what Paul calls them. They are the fruit of the Spirit. They're evidence that we are walking with Jesus whenever we perform these things. We're walking with the Spirit. And they are easy, some of the time. And they're fun to do, some of the time. And they don't take too much of our time, some of the time. And they are essential if we are to live by the Spirit, all of the time. No, some of the time. One of my favorite songs, the hymns that we sing, is None of Self and All of Thee, because it goes through a progression. How I look at myself. Follow Me is another one I like, again, because it looks at how I look at myself and where we start and where we strive to get to. None of self and all of thee. And meaning none of self means putting others first, because that's what God is directing us to do. Love each other. We love God when we love each other. So, how do we get there? 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll start in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We get there by continuing to grow as Christians. We're going to fall short. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to err. And we're going to do so. I just don't feel like doing it. We're going to have times whenever someone needs something and we're going to be hit with the situation that they're a brother, but I don't necessarily get along that well with them. They said something that hurt my feelings. They did something that I don't think they should have done. When did Christ come to us? When did He reach out to us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us before we had reached out to Him, before we had turned back to Him, before we had made some kind of concessionary move to Him. He died for us. When we hold something against our brothers and sisters and say, well, I'm not going to help them because of this or that, we're doing the opposite of what Jesus has done for us. We know we're going to make mistakes, so we continue to grow. We strive to do better the next time. I go back to my young days playing baseball. Didn't hit the ball the first time I swung at it. Matter of fact, I never got particularly good at it, otherwise I would have kept playing. But it didn't mean I didn't practice it and I didn't try. I kept trying to do better and to do better. And by the time I finished playing, I think I was at least understood better. I was better than I was certainly when I started. Well, the good news here is, being Christians, we can get better. When we end our life as a Christian, we can be the best we've ever been doing it. Don't have to be limited by physical limitations, by physical erosion of our skills, hand-eye coordination going away. We can be the best we've ever been on the last day of our life. Something we should be striving for. And Peter tells us how to get there. Just continue to add to your faith. You see, the last thing he calls out here is adding love. Because love isn't easy, is it? It's easy for me to love my wife. It's easy for me to love my kids. But John Beagle? Takes a little work. But we've got to grow. We've got to keep moving forward in our lives as a Christian. And whenever we mess up and we say no to something we should have said yes to, we know that. We really know that. So next time, do better. Ask God to forgive us for confessing our sin, confessing where we fall short. Ask Him to forgive us because He wants to. And He knows that we're going to fall short. He cares for us when we fall short. And He's made provisions for us whenever we fall short. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Excuse me. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So how do we get there? We first have to determine that we want to be God's child, that we want to serve God, that we want to obey Him and praise Him. We have to realize what John is telling us, that we are sinners, that we can't hide from it, and that we can be cleansed from it. Paul said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As sinners, though, we have to realize there's a better way. Some people say, well, I'm a sinner. This is the best it's going to be. But there's not. There is a better way. There's a way of hope. There's a way out There's a way to obtain that hope. You know, because we're sitting, we're pointing to everlasting life as being, you know, why we should, you know, that's what the gift of God is. But the gift of God is the removal of our sins. And the continual removal of our sins as we remain close to Him, as we confess our sins to Him, as we stay close to Him, as we help others, as we live our lives in a faithful way, showing the fruits of the Spirit to others. Showing our love for God, showing God's love for them. Until we decide that we really want to bear that fruit from God, we're not going to be successful. Solomon tried it. Read Ecclesiastes. I guess Solomon got bored. So he said, there's got to be a better way. I'll give you a little, I guess, like on spoilers. Right at them, the movies. Solomon figured out serving God's the best way. At the end of the book, that's the short conclusion he came to. Serve God and keep His commandments. Because it's the best way. It may not seem like it. Because our commitment to God takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. And it's not always fun. And we like fun. We like things that are attractive. Things that look good, right? Playing football, baseball, whatever the attraction is. But those are temporary. And I can tell you from experience that serving God, helping others, being God's light in this world brings a joy that none of these earthly things can match. I do know that. I failed a lot, but I have experienced that. Gives you a feeling that you can't get from just the things that we do to find our own gratification. The feeling of helping others, the feeling to know that you've shared God with others, that God is known because of your efforts. And as you grow in your commitment to God, as your love for God grows and is shown through your love for others, it will be more rewarding and will provide more joy and fulfillment than any activity this world has to offer. Philippians 4 and 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So, if there's anyone who desires to come to Jesus, now is the time, because He will save you. He can set you free. He will make you white as snow. John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we're told, when Peter was asked, "What will we do?" because they realized they had crucified Jesus, God's Son. "Repent and be baptized." We're told in Romans 10 and 10 that we're to confess God, Jesus before man. So by believing, repenting, confessing, and then finally being baptized, submitting to God in baptism, submitting to Christ in baptism, we can be added to that family. We can start our life serving God. Start to learn what true fun is, what true joy is. Not temporary, not fading, but lasting. If there's anyone who has a need today, if you'd come while we stand and while we sing.